Heather Long writes about economics for the Washington Post and joins us again on WGN. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hi. Good to be back. How are you doing?
Good. Is Gary Cohn one of the little-known Trump aides, or is he a well-known Trump aide and the little-known is a different story?
I'd say little known is a little bit different than Gary Cohn. It is unusual for someone who holds the position that Gary Cohn did at the National Economic Council to have such big stature. But he was one of the top people, obviously, at Goldman Sachs, well known to the New York crowd, and has certainly become very well known to the Washington, D.C. crowd. He was one of the main crafters of the tax bill for the White House, one of the key negotiators on that big tax package that just passed. So he's been well known here for the past year in D.C.
Why did he leave?
It's been brewing for a while, but I think the obvious reason that he left is a huge disagreement over what to do about trade. President Trump wants to put on these tariffs on steel and aluminum, but it's not just that. This is sort of the first in a series of actions the president wants to take. President Trump hinted today on Twitter that he wants to do a lot more against China. There's currently an investigation going about how China is ripping off America's intellectual property, so everything from our DVDs and our video games to how we make robots. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're also in the midst of renegotiating NAFTA, and President Trump has threatened to take some pretty dramatic action there, too. And, you know, Gary Cohn was really trying to fight against keep America's trades and ports open, and it came to a head this week when President Trump made it clear that he intends to do these tariffs.
But it wasn't a singular issue then, but more the straw that broke the camel's back?
Well, that's what he's trying to say, and a lot of people in D.C. are saying. Obviously, he disagreed with the president vehemently after the Charlottesville comments back in August.
Right.
A lot of people say Gary Cohn was in the running to be the new Federal Reserve chair and was then passed over because he and Trump were feuding over that.
All he said was, we have to do better. That was the quote. After Charlottesville, Gary Cohn said, we have to do better. And he was talking about the, you know, rhetoric out of the White House after that. That was seen as inflammatory by the administration?
Well, again, it's all about around the margins, right? So it was somebody who was not loyal to the president who was going to the press to make those comments. It's been a hot and cold relationship, I think, between President Trump and Gary Cohn. But, what we're seeing today, honestly, if I'm the White House, I'm probably pretty happy with the market reaction today. There was a lot of fear last night. As soon as he resigned, the market was closed, so you had that futures trading overnight, and that was pointing to some really ugly potential for today, down possibly 300 or more points for the Dow. You know, in reality, it looks like we're about ready to close here in a couple minutes, and, you know, it's down. It's barely down, and some of the market indicators are actually about flat and slightly positive.
Sure. I get your point, but then maybe that is also because evidently the word out of the White House today is that they'll carve out Canada and Mexico and some other countries on these tariffs, so that'll mitigate some of the fear maybe of a trade war. Do I read that right?
I think you're reading that exactly how Wall Street is reading this, that things are looking a little bit more positive. Canada by far sends the most aluminum and steel to the United States, obviously a very close ally. So exempting them from this tariff would be huge, both for businesses and for our ongoing trade and national security relationship with our close neighbor there.
Well, China's not. And if this was a shot against China, we don't really import that much metal from China anyway, do we?
That's correct. You talk to some steel industry executives and they try to say the story where, China's not sending, there's not many boats going right from China to the United States with steel on them and aluminum. However, what about those boats going from China to, say, Costa Rica, for instance, and suddenly there's been a spike in imports from Costa Rica of some metal products. Obviously, Costa Rica is not known for producing metal. So things like this where you're seeing third-party countries that are sort of being used to mask, and this is not new for China. They've done it with everything from honey to metal products. But again, you ask most people who've been around this trade for a long time, they say, yeah, there's definitely some of that going on, but it's not huge, and that, again, China is not going to be hit very hard by these tariffs.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's there's politics here and there's economics as well. I guess the greatest concern for all of us was, you know, trade war and all of the things that would mean, including higher prices for goods and services in the United States, and maybe something that would ultimately hurt U.S. industries or hurt U.S. jobs. Do you think?
Right. I think that's the biggest takeaway here is that President Trump, it's really a gamble. He's leaving the future economic growth of this country really in the hands of foreigners. So it's really going to come down to what's decisions that are made in Beijing and in over in Europe and the European capitals or in other parts of the world, possibly Canada, depending upon what happens.
This is my question, Heather. I mean, so you have the politics and you have the economics. And if the economics aren't great, but the politics are that he promised people he would do stuff like this. My understanding is that after talking to both sides and weighing on it, he thought, well, I told the people I would do something like this. I'm going to protect steel, so I have to protect steel. I wonder if anybody's considering this sort of quandary the president created for himself with this. Does he have an obligation to the American people or to at least the people that voted for him to follow through on that pledge? Even if Gary Cohn is saying, dude, this is a bad idea. And he goes, yeah, but that's what they want. I promised them I would protect steel jobs or try. This is how I'm going to do it. You know what I mean?
I think that's exactly what's going through his mind. And you've seen those comments from that trade advisor, Peter Navarro, who is one of those kind of quiet, lesser known folks who is suddenly playing a huge role here. And he's made that argument this week, all week long. He said, you know, the Wall Street types, the Gary Cohn Wall Street types don't want this, but that Main Street does. I think it's a little more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of folks. I was speaking earlier this week to some workers at Ford, and the auto industry is interesting. They use a lot of steel and aluminum to make cars and trucks in this country. Goldman Sachs has predicted that Ford will lose $1 billion this year if the full tariff goes through. That's a big hit for a company like that. But when I text and call with some of the union workers there in Michigan, they said, look, we actually think this is a good thing. We think we want to see jobs come back in the blue collar and the manufacturing sector. They sort of see it as a bigger issue, bigger than just their own company. They see it as fighting for fellow workers. So I thought that was an interesting perspective. And in that case, Trump is reading the on-the-ground situation correctly. The problem is, if this does escalate to a trade war, more people could potentially lose their jobs than the ones that are going to be saved. And that's tricky political and economic dynamics.
Well, I work at a radio station. I'd sure love it if the president would do something to make it more difficult for people to compete with me to compete. You know, how about we crush the internet or, I don't know, find some way to make AM radio even more viable? But that's just not the economics of the world. And I think what needs to happen, though, I mean, you know, for me, fair is fair. My industry is what it is, and we have to compete. I wonder how fair the steel business is. You know what I mean? Like, do we need to prop up U.S. steel because of dumping and other tactics that China or other countries use? And this kind of question isn't even necessarily just about steel, but, you know, should we do tariffs to protect U.S. industries to make the field fairer is what I'm wondering.
I think a lot of economists and even political types would say the answer is yes to make it fair. But when you look at what's being proposed by the White House, almost everybody agrees that China is dumping on the world market and that they're selling way cheap steel that's being subsidized by their government. That's not fair. However, Canada is not doing that. Germany is not doing that. And I think the part of the problem is what the president proposed is a remedy that would hit everybody equally as opposed to hitting the players that are actually breaking the rules worse. Yeah. And so you're seeing a lot of the people who are kind of trying to walk this fine line of saying, look, I'm for the workers, I'm for the industry, but I'm also for not killing global trade. And that is they're trying to convince the president, look, let's do this in a way that just targets the bad players.
One last question for Heather Long, Washington Post economics reporter, because we called around. You know, we got some economic schools here in Chicago, like the University of Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. I haven't found many economists that go, yeah, this could work out. Or as the president said, trade wars are a good idea and they're easy if you just know how to do them. Is there an economics community out there that believes that, aside from a couple of advisors in the White House?
No, but I do think a fair thing to say is if there's a scenario that plays out here where we do these steel and aluminum tariffs, and then other countries do some small retaliations, not huge, but small retaliations, then the World Trade Organization says, this is all unfair, and everybody just backs off and stops it in about a year. If that happens, that's exactly what happened in 2002 when George W. Bush tried to put some tariffs on steel. And the reality is, the overall economic impact was pretty modest. Mm-hmm. It was negative. Some jobs were lost, but it wasn't like we lost millions of jobs. And the economic hit was about 30 million to some say $1 billion. And we have a $20 trillion economy.
Yeah, we got
that's
that.
Just small potatoes.
Yeah. Heather Long writes about the economic scene for the Washington Post and joins us once in a while. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice. Thanks for joining us today, Heather.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.